Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 13, verse 15. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 15 says, "The way of transgressors is hard." Look at it. "Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard." Now, this is a very, very important proverb to learn, because what it tells you is that if you choose to do something that is in the way of transgression, something that's wrong according to God's words, then the consequence of the decision to follow in the way of transgression is going to result in a hard way. Now, this is hard to grasp sometimes, particularly for people that are lost, because what happens is when transgressors are having the heyday of fun, they don't see that their way is hard, particularly if they have plenty of money and friends. Then everything looks grand, even so much so that people envy that lifestyle and covet that wealth and opulence. But the trouble is, it plays out. It doesn't last. The way of transgressors is hard. It may seem like easy street for a while, but in the end, then the hardship of that way becomes very, very evident. And I think that's one of the tricks of that way of transgression. Somebody gets away with it and they're like, "Well, man, this didn't hurt me. It didn't cost me anything. As a matter of fact, it helped me. I'll do it again. I'll do it again. I'll do it again." And then all of a sudden it plays out, and now it's hard. Now, I want to leave this proverb for a little bit, remembering what it says, of course, the way of transgressors is hard, and read some other texts that illustrate how truly difficult the way of transgression is. Now, one of these we want to see is Psalm 73. And what you're going to notice is that the transgressors spoken of in Psalm 73 really have what other people would call the ideal life. They're on easy street. And their lifestyle is so grand, it's so opulent, that even the psalmist Asaph that writes about it is envious, because he sees that their way is desirable, it's easy. It's as if he's even mad at God about what he sees. But before this psalm ends, he understands that in fact something he didn't see in all of their beautiful lifestyle was waiting for them that made what they were doing very hard. Psalm 73, verse 3. All right, Asaph says, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth." Now look at that. They have prosperity in verse 3. They're not constrained. They have no bands in their death. They can afford anything that's necessary to make the passing through death comfortable. They're strong. They're not in trouble. They're not plagued. If they were, most of the plagues result from things like disease and famine and stuff like that. They're certainly not going to starve to death. And if they ever did experience any kind of infirmity, they have all the money that man could want to buy the best care that's available. They're proud, but they're also violent. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They've just got everything they could wish. They have more than heart could wish. The trouble with them is they're corrupt. They speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. That's why they don't mind cursing God. They set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walketh through the earth. They're earthly men, and when anything is spoken about the Lord, they just cuss him or use his name to cuss. So they've got it all. But also notice in verse 12, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Now, if you read the Bible carefully, you'll recognize that several times there are verses in reference to the devil, and the devil is a rich being. He uses his wisdom to gather wealth and to work with iniquity. And so these are like he is, and they think that they're well compensated in their transgression because they are prosperous. They are increased in riches. But look at the end. Asaph said in verse 16, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. It really, really hurt him and bothered him that men who would serve God really had the rough go in life, and the men who served riches had it easy. He thought that was topsy-turvy. He thought it was the wrong way. Don't you know that Paul and the disciples could have felt the same way? There's John. He was the most beloved of the disciples with Jesus Christ, and yet he was in exile on the Isle of Patmos, left all alone. You know, in a time like that, you might despair. You might be offended. John the Baptist was offended when he was in jail because he thought that Jesus Christ came to rule, and yet, you know, John the Baptist got in prison. Jesus Christ was killed. So Asaph said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. How come the good guys get it bad and the bad guys get it good? But then verse 17, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I what? Their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. Oh boy, how are they brought into desolation? As in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. Now in the earth, in wartime, you've seen the opulence destroyed. When one enemy gains the ascendancy over the other enemy, you see these guys that were wicked, that had this wonderful lifestyle, all of a sudden penniless and run out of their countries, literally, and everything that they had built destroyed. It can happen here in the earth, suddenly. But more importantly, it happens after the earth. It happens when a man dies. He lives in his opulence. He lives in his wealth. He lives in his prosperity. He looks up and says, what do I need with the Lord? I've accomplished everything I need without him. Yet, when he dies, he's cast down into destruction, brought to desolation, in a moment, utterly consumed with terrors. And you know what he finds out suddenly? The way of transgression is hard. Why? Because now for an eternity, he will have to spend that time, the rest of his days, in the torments of hell, just like the rich man who fared sumptuously every day, with clothed in purple, had everything that he wanted until he wound up in hell. And there he stayed forever. He's there right now. And all of that luxury and all of that sumptuous dining and all of that beautiful clothing that he had is absolutely meaningless to him today. He would suddenly trade places with Lazarus, who was the beggar laid at his gate. He would rather have been distressed in this earth to have eternal life than to have had all that he had and die and go to hell. And you know what he found out? He's living proof and testimony today. The way of transgressors is hard. What's so hard about it? It's deceitful for one thing. So that the man enjoys all the wealth only to lose his soul. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I mean, truthfully, if you could get so wealthy by whatever invention you made, whatever software you wrote, whatever equipment you designed and distributed, that you, or whatever banking organization you ran, that you could literally own everything in the earth, all the buildings, all the businesses, all the wealth, all the gold, all the diamonds, all the everything. You get to a place where you own it all, you could. You could literally own it all. And then what he says, if you lose your own soul, what was it worth? Well, it's worth nothing. That's why the way of transgressors is hard. Because they spend all that to gain everything they have here and lose it in a moment in time, including their souls. Now, let's look in Job chapter 21 and notice something else. Job chapter 21, another text illustrating the way of transgressors is hard. This is Job chapter 21, and look at verse 7, and notice how deceitful their lifestyle is at the beginning. Job 21, verse 7. Wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, or mighty in power? Their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear, neither is the rod of God upon them. Their bull gendereth, and faileth not. Their cow calveth, and casteth not her calf. They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. They take the timbrel and harp, and rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their days in wealth, and in a moment go down to the grave. Therefore they say unto God, Depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him, and what profit should we have if we pray unto him? Now, what do they have? Well, what they have is this. They have children. These are the wicked. And they're mighty in power, and they live to an old age, in verse 7 of Job 21. In verse 8, their seed is established in their sight with them. In other words, their offspring grow up with them, and so are now, they're successful. They're right there before their eyes. They're not people that are dragged off. You know, they're not dragged off to war because they've been conscripted into the army and drafted. No, these men have money, and so they get to keep their family right nearby. And their family's going to stay nearby because that's where the wealth is. Keep it all in the family. Their houses are safe from fear. Why? Burglar alarms, security guards, fences, gated communities, you know, bars on the doors if need be, glass over the wall around the property if need be, security cameras. Neither is the rod of God upon them. They're not in trouble with the Lord, at least it doesn't appear. Their bull gendereth. Their cow calveth. So they have huge production in their cow herds. Their little ones go like a flock. Their children dance. Ballroom dancing lessons. Timbrel, harp, sound of the organ. Wealth in verse 13. But then what happens in verse 13? In a moment they go down to the grave. In a moment they go down to the grave. So what's the outcome for these guys? Verse 16. Their good is not in their hand. The counsel of the wicked is far from me. How oft is the candle of the wicked put out? And how oft cometh their destruction upon them? God distributeth sorrows in his anger. They are as stubble before the wind, and as chaff that the storm carrieth away. You look at all the world rulers, the transgressors, who lived in their opulence and wealth. You take people like Constantine, Hitler, Napoleon, Lenin, Stalin. Name the world rulers. Saddam Hussein. Name the world rulers who have the opulence. And you know what happens? The Lord says, in a moment, bang, they're dead. In a moment, they go down to the grave. Where do they wake up? In hell. In hell. It all plays out. All that they had to do, all the politicking they had to do, all the finagling they had to do, all of the tax, I won't say evasion, although some of that time is involved in tax evasion, but all of the tax sheltering they did, all of the money laundering, all of the running from the law, all of the buying off people, that's pretty hard in itself. But boy, how hard is it when you've enjoyed all the wealth, you've traveled to every place, the nice condos, the beautiful fishing boats, the glorious places of the earth, and then what? You wind up burning. The way of transgressors is hard. Look again. You know, you say, well, aren't you going to preach against the drug addicts and the dope addicts and the alcoholics and all that? Yeah, we'll get to them. But right now what we're doing is preaching to those who are transgressors that don't realize they are transgressors. These are the good guys that go to church and they go to confession and they have all the wealth and they've got the nice cars and yet they don't have Jesus Christ. And then therefore they've got a real problem. They are living on a very hard way. Luke chapter 12, let me just show this to you one more time and then we'll leave it and go on to some other transgressors. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16, Jesus Christ gave a parable to his disciples and this is what he said. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast many goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Here's a story, a parable, of a really, really good farmer. And this good farmer had such a huge crop that he was able to afford to tear down his barns and build bigger, to store that huge crop. And he figured he could live off the revenue from the sale of that crop for several years and just take it easy for a while. That's how good a farmer he really was. That's how good a manager he really was. But he turned out to be a transgressor. And very few folks in his neck of the woods would have even guessed that he was a transgressor because he was the salt of the earth. Trouble is, he wasn't saved. He wasn't saved. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. And you know what Proverbs tells us? Proverbs chapter 21, verse 4 says, A high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. He plowed his ground sufficiently to produce this tremendous crop, timed it just right, but he was wicked. And the plowing of the wicked is sin. And when he died, it's just a parable, but if it were to be real, when this man would have died, he would wind up in hell. Why? Because he was rich toward himself, but not rich toward God. He was not concerned about his soul. He was only concerned about his creature comforts. So what's the deal? A man who neglects his soul in favor of his business is a wicked man. You see, really what we've done in the first part of this message is just try to convince you that a transgressor doesn't even know that he's a transgressor before the hard way hits him smack dab in the face after he dies, because he's been insulated from hardship by his wealth and by his standing in life and by his friends and by all the fun that he's been having doing all the things that he enjoys. He doesn't realize what's coming. But if he were to have realized that he was a transgressor before all of this played out, and then sought the remedy that transgressors find in the Lord Jesus Christ, he would not have neglected his soul, and therefore, though he had wealth, he would not have been a transgressor, and his life would not nearly have been as hard, because there's a reward for the righteous that serves the Lord Jesus Christ on this side of glory. Now you can figure the hardship of transgressions. Now we're going to just kind of move off of this for a second and go into something that's obvious. The other wasn't so obvious. In other words, if you're well off, but you have not yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, and you attribute the blessings in life that you have to the Lord Jesus Christ without having received him as your Savior, you're going to be fooled. And the hardship that you face is going to be an eternity in hell. It's going to be a terrible thing. And we don't want you to go there. You have absolutely no reason to go there after what Jesus Christ has done for you. You can't use all the wealth that you have to buy your way out of hell or out of sin, but Jesus Christ, who paid with his life, can get you out of there by simply affording you the opportunity to trust him. Now let's move. Let's move in this message to something that is more obvious, the way of transgressors and hard. You can figure the hardship of transgressors who suffer the consequences of sin early in life. Absolutely. That's not tough. I mean, here's the guy that likes to drink. Why, the hardship that he suffers is easy to figure because the hardship that he suffers is vomiting alcohol. It's the hangovers. That's easy to figure. And, you know, the guy wakes up and he goes, man, I tell you, he says, there's something I ought to do about this. I'm getting sick all the time, puking out my guts, and I'm not performing well at work. I got to quit this thing. The hardship of his transgression should lead him to turn from the hardship. It's not hard to figure the hardship of a transgressor who is being treated for and living with STDs, sexually transmitted diseases. Careless with life early on, and all of a sudden contracts sexually transmitted diseases that he'll or she'll live with for the rest of his life or her life and transmit to their partner whenever they decide to finally settle down and marry. That's a hardship. And that's the way of transgressors. Financial disasters from indiscretions, monetary indiscretions, business indiscretions. That's not hard to figure. Here's a man that starts off in business. He goes to the bank, borrows a little money, gets into business. Things are doing well. He starts to play a little bit, and he's kind of a little downturn in the business, and he starts funneling his own money in there, and then he says, you know, this thing is leading to disaster, and the next thing you know, he's filing bankruptcy. What happened to him? The way of transgressors is hard. He played when he should have been working. Busted marriages from infidelity. Terrible, terrible transgression. Terrible, terrible hardship. Here's a family gets together, a man and a woman. They enjoy each other. They have a little baby, and then all of a sudden they decide they can't make it together. Boy, you talk about hardship of life. It is hard. And people go through it every single day. And you know what they're experiencing? They're experiencing the hardship of transgression. People that are being treated right now for drugs, overdoses, and things that they've done wrong that have now messed up their minds really permanently. Boy, that's a no-brainer. Like I was talking to a fellow in jail one time named Robert. He said, I'm 40 years old, and all of my friends are either dead or in jail. Well, he ran with bad company, but he ran with a lot of drug addicts, and he ran with a lot of alcoholics, and they died in car wrecks, and they died by gunshot wounds, and they died by stabbings, and they died by overdoses, and they died by poisoning. A man that breaks the law, that winds up in jail, understands the hardship of transgression when he breaks the law. A man who dies from carelessness or bad company understands the hardship of transgression because he's dead. People who join gangs and then try to get out understand the hardship of transgression. They shouldn't have gotten to the gang in the first place, and they did and try to get out, and it's hard to do. They're always watching their back. Heartache from busted and broken romances. Just indiscretion in dating and get too close when they shouldn't be that close. They ought to be closer to the Lord. And then the thing busts up, and they're all sad and busted and upset. You know what that is? That's the hardship of transgression. Because God would advise in His Bible not to get that close to a young man or a young woman until you're prepared to marry. And on these hardships go. That's not hard to figure. You could see the practical side of this proverb easily. The way of transgression is hard. And if that's true, if the way of transgressors is hard, if that's true, then you know what you ought to do? You ought to find out what the solution is so that you don't have to experience the hardship of transgression. You say, but transgression is so much fun. Yeah, but there's other ways in this world to have fun and to have joy without having to sin. You know what the solution to all of this is? It's in the text. It's good understanding. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 15 says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Good understanding. Listen, a young man or a young woman who reads the Bible and believes what it says and then follows it will avoid the hard way of transgressors. They really will. If you're a young person or you've got young people that live in your home or you know young people, the best thing in the world for them to do is to get into a Bible and read it and find out what God has to say about all the transgressions that are in the earth. And there are many of them. Things to do with stealing and murdering and hating and bitterness. Things to do with sex and money and alcohol and drugs. You know, things to do with religion. All kinds of things in there. Oh, things to do with your mouth and not to do with your mouth. Things to do with your anger and not to do with your anger. It's all in there. And if a man would go or a young woman would go and get good understanding and find favor with the Lord here, then you know what they'd do? They'd miss the hangovers. They would never have to worry about what it is to feel the effects of vomiting alcohol. I've got a real dear friend of mine that's 76 years old. We were visiting one day, and he doesn't even know the names of a lot of alcoholic beverages, doesn't even know the names of the various drinks and things, doesn't even know what it is. He'd never done it. Doesn't know what it is to be hungover or drunk. And he missed all of that, living as a Christian all of his life. And yet he's one of the most joyous and happiest men I've ever known. Why? Because he didn't fall in the way of transgression. Listen, a young man or woman that would read this Bible and flee fornication would never have to worry about what it is to carry a sexually transmitted disease. Wouldn't even have to worry about it. Would never have to understand the hardship of that treatment, of that embarrassment, of that disclosure to a future spouse, of that sadness whenever you've transmitted the disease. Never have to know what it is to have financial collapse. He'd always be able to live within his means. You don't see disciples who lived by faith in Jesus Christ ever filing bankruptcy and things like that. Men and young women that follow the Bible, they never experience drug problems and overdoses and withdrawal pains. They don't go to jail, for doing something wrong. for being a transgressor. I know there's some Christians that have gone to jail, but not for transgression. And it wasn't hard because they were content with the Lord Jesus Christ when they got there. There are young people that are dead now. They're dead from hanging themselves and overdosing themselves and shooting themselves. Why? Because they went crazy in their transgression. They didn't have a good understanding. Listen, a young man that goes into the Bible and reads it and believes it and follows it, he'll never have to worry about the death from sin. Not early on. He'll die in the natural course of time, Lord willing. He won't have to worry about busted marriages because he'll be very careful about his dating. He won't marry or she won't marry a lost person. And even then, they'll find the common ground and they'll seek the Lord Jesus Christ's will in prayer. The solution to all of this problem with the way of transgressors being hard is to get saved, to get in the Bible, and to follow what it says. Listen, a young man or a young woman who trusts the Lord Jesus Christ and follows this good understanding of the Word of God will never have to experience the distress and discontent that comes from the way of transgression. They may be distressed by things they do in serving the Lord Jesus Christ, but never, never to the degree that somebody is distressed who has been in the way of transgression. A young man or a young woman who gets the good understanding of the Word of God by reading it and following it gains joy, peace, love, simplicity in life, strength, confidence, assurance, life itself, life, abundant life, rest, contentment, all those wonderful things. The way of the man following God, to me, surely seems better than the way of the transgressor. But the point is, can you be convinced of that? Let's say you've lived a while and now you're a drunk. You're a drug addict. You're depressed. You're in a bad marriage. It's not too late to get the good understanding of the Word of God by getting under good preaching and teaching of the Word of God, by aligning your life with the words of this book and living for God and watching Him remove the hardship of transgression by putting you in the joy of the Lord. Will you take Him up on it? Will you take Him up on it? He's just waiting to help you and remove the hardship of your transgression. But you've got to trust Him to take it for you. And we pray that you will.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.